3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Out and About. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Also streaming from KYRS.org. Happy Trans Day of Visibility. Boy, what a week it's been. We had the No Kings protest, which was just incredible. So many people there. It was an incredible event. And as always, your KYRS, your community radio station, brought it live to you as well. So hopefully you were able to tune into that. If not, it's on our archive, so you can check out all the action there. So, hey, I have some new friends of mine. I have Sloan Poe from Identity and Maggie McGuire from Trans Spokane. And they are our Trans Day of Trans Day of Visibility planners. How are you all doing?
Doing good, Maeve. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's a sunny day. It's a beautiful day out there. Mm-hmm. We're going to go have some celebrations, of which we are going to talk about, and it's going to be super fun. And, I don't have any commercial interruptions. We'll play a little bit of music, like a little bit, maybe 20 minutes in. We'll play a little music, kind of break things up. But how are things going with you guys?
You know, it's an interesting time that we're all living in.
It is, isn't it?
I think we can all say that.
I'm sure
there's a lot of agreement there, but it's also, I think, a really special time to be in community with each other because of that.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I agree.
It's so funny because it's just such an onslaught. As I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts walking down here, I was listening to it, but then I checked the headlines, and the headlines were something like Trump signs executive order, you know, outlawing mail-in ballots or something like that.
Oh, God,
as I'm walking down, I see that, and at the same time, the podcast I'm listening to is talking about the Supreme Court ruling on birthright citizenship. Mm. It's like, oh my gosh. I mean, if he's not a Russian agent, you can maybe argue that he's not, but I don't know what a Russian agent would do any different to destroy America than what he's been doing. So, yeah.
Yeah, day in, day out. It's you can't get a break from it.
Yeah,
right?
it's an onslaught. Yeah.
An onslaught, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we're going to celebrate today, right? I mean, we've got on the transgender calendar, we've got, and you folks, you both are transgenders, let my listeners know. So,
yeah.
Yep. And, you know, we have our two, we've got Trans Day of Remembrance and Trans Day of Visibility. Those are the two biggies. And of course, Arbor Day. We love Arbor Day. So, why don't we talk a little bit about, let's talk a little bit about your organizations first, because, Trans Spokane, that's been around for a while, right?
It has, yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you talk a little bit about that, Maggie?
Sure. So Trans Spokane is it's primarily just a community for gender diverse and trans people.
Mm-hmm.
We're not an official organization or anything like that. I think it's been around for about 4 or 5 years. I discovered it about a year and a half ago. So that's when I joined up. And recently joined leadership.
Oh, very cool. So what kind of things does it do for the trans community in Spokane?
Yeah, so it's primarily an online Discord community.
Okay.
But we also do a lot of in-person meetups.
Okay, very cool.
We definitely like to do some outreach events. We like to participate in all the prides in the area. And also Trans Day of Remembrance, Trans Day of Visibility.
Very cool. And if somebody wanted to join the Discord or find out more, Facebook page then, or?
Yes, we have a Facebook page. Facebook would probably be the easiest to find.
Yeah. I think everything's kind of going, seems like websites are passe anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
we do technically have one. It has not been updated in
that's
far
the
too
problem.
Long.
I didn't even know.
I have one with my own name on it, and it's like, I haven't updated it in like 6 months. So
yeah. we do. It's hard. Transpokane.org. I need to update it though. So,
okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Okay. Well, so people can go there. If you are a transgender person and, you know, I think, you know, it's, if you're safe, if it's safe for you to come out and, be visible, that's the best thing you can do to basically get people to be accepting of trans people is to be out there doing the job and doing the work and be visible in your community. So, maybe Trans Spokane, check it out if you're listening.
Not just in Spokane either.
What's that? Yeah.
Just to be clear, it's not just Spokane.
So do you have mostly like Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho?
Washington, Northern Idaho as well. Okay. Yeah. We also have some members from around the country who are trying to make their way here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you're...
That's the beauty of Discord, right?
So if you're around the country trying to get somewhere safer and this is on your list, also please reach out.
That's a good point because there are people listening to this radio show that aren't around, you know, in this local vicinity either. So
what a great resource for people coming into our area to be able to connect with people here and get recommendations and connections so they, you know, they aren't entering totally unknown. It's really awesome.
Well, I don't know what your experience is, but my experience being a trans person in Spokane, and I've been out for, well, I came out at work 9 years ago. At nine.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I have never, I've maybe gotten a couple of dirty looks. I've been misgendered maybe once by somebody. And I just feel like, you know, I'd go to like other places in the country that are, you would think would be really progressive. And sometimes they're not, like New York City or Minneapolis, you know?
Yeah.
It's just sort of.
It's such a mixed bag.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I was reading recently, I believe it's, I believe the data indicates some 430,000 trans and gender diverse people have relocated states, primarily to kind of Washington, Oregon, California, West Coast states from around the country since 2024, I think, which is a huge number of people. Man. And of course, you know, with all of these things that have happened just in the last like 6 months, all this legislation, I feel like we, you know, our community here is probably going to grow that much more.
Yeah.
Just people looking for places where they can be themselves
And, you know, and I find so many trans folks that I know are professionals, too. I mean, they're not like they're a drag on the economy. They are people that come here and do work or bring businesses with them.
Absolutely.
You know, and feel safe about having a business in a state where they can, you know, be themselves. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, Sloan, you... Identity, right? So
identity health. Yeah.
Now that identity health, and that got started in Alaska. It was kind of big news when they, which to me, are you from Alaska? Did you?
I am not.
Or they kind of got you while you were here and then, or from the local area or?
Yeah. So I grew up on the Olympic Peninsula.
Okay.
On the other side of the state.
And oh, nice. Moved so I love the Olympic Peninsula.
It's great. But you know, I moved here to Spokane about 4 years ago. My dad was born here and he moved back out here. And I, you know, Spokane, I grew up, you know, in proximity to Seattle. And of course there's so many of our community members out in Seattle, but you know, I have really found so much strength and depth in the community here in Spokane. And there's just, I think we show up and we fight for our community's visibility here because we don't take it for granted.
But yeah.
So I joined on with Identity Health in November after connecting with them because they were bringing a clinic here. So they started in actually the 70s in Anchorage, Alaska, as a community center for the LGBTQI2S community. And in, I believe it was 2022, after, you know, the couple years of the pandemic shutdowns, they added on a health clinic, integrated primary and behavioral health care, to create a space where our community could be fully who they are for their health care without having to explain their identity or worry about encountering discrimination. And so incoming to Spokane, very exciting. Second clinic location is in the works, and we're looking at in-person opening probably August, September.
Oh, very cool.
We're trying to get telehealth open as soon as possible.
Is it going to be over on the on the campus of the college that we're, I don't know why I had that in my mind.
No, but we're actually going to be, we're still finalizing the details, but we're going to be in downtown Spokane.
Okay.
It's really important to have an accessible location, you know, on a direct bus line.
Yeah.
It's somewhere easy for everybody to get to, and it's going to serve not just Spokane, but the entire Inland Northwest through telehealth and in-person. So it's really important to recognize queer folks who are living in rural areas, our queer community in Northern Idaho, just getting people more resources because it is so tough here.
Is Spokane like right? I mean, is the only place else in Anchorage and then Spokane, or have they been in other places as well?
So the clinic in Anchorage serves the whole state of Alaska.
That just to me is amazing that Alaska would be a leader in something like that.
Isn't it wild?
Yeah.
So they do telehealth for the entire state. People travel down to Anchorage to do, you know, like once a year appointments if they need to. They are, I think sometime this year, hoping to open another clinic out there, a satellite clinic in the Matsu Valley, who they do a lot of telehealth and behavioral health for. That's actually why Spokane. It's a similar dynamic, even though like Alaska is so different from us culturally, which I am still learning about. It's a fascinating place, but it's the only city in that area.
What are their laws? Are they like ours as far as bathroom laws and things like that in their state, or have they passed some draconian stuff?
There's nothing has been passed yet.
Okay.
But this year there has been a lot of speculation about legislation outlawing gender affirming care for youth, and Identity actually united 990 other medical providers and community members in that area of Alaska to oppose it. Nothing's been passed. You know, we're dealing with some pre-compliance, which is really tough. But we are, you know, we're a nonprofit. We accept all insurances, but we're not reliant on federal funding. So, you know, that's very intentional.
That's cool.
So that we can keep providing care
that's
as
smart.
Long as we can.
Yeah, that's so smart. That's like this radio station. We get no funding other than the money that people give us.
Yeah.
You know, it's just pretty cool. Maggie, how did you get involved? How did you get involved in the planning of the Transgender Day of Visibility?
So Trans Spokane has had a shift in leadership recently. So somebody named Leah and I recently kind of took over. And because of that instability, we kind of weren't in a position to host it ourselves this year. So thankfully, Spokane Pride stepped up. And so they are putting it on this year. And so I've been part of the Trans Pride Committee.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I joined the Trans Pride Committee to be part of it, but they're really the ones who took the lead this year.
Okay. And Sloan, same situation with you as far as, are you part of that committee too?
Yeah, I joined up with the committee. We also have been working with Spokane Pride for our fundraising event that's upcoming in May. You know, Spokane Pride really does a lot of super helpful event coordination.
Yeah, they orgs. Do.
You know, I think they worked with Trans Spokane for T-Door too, right? Mm-hmm. And that was an incredible
event. Oh my gosh, yeah, that was biggie.
It was so great. It was our first event, like, hey, we're coming. And, and the speakers, like having local medical providers speak on T-Door was fantastic. Yeah. It was such a great event.
So. We do have such a really good medical infrastructure here.
We are so... I really feel like we are very privileged.
And so when I got all my surgeries and stuff, I had to go down to Moscow, Idaho for mine. Wow. But then the doctor who did them, he came back up here. Stiller came here.
Oh,
now,
that's right.
You know, he's like a mile from my house. Instead of dry, if I just waited a year, that would have been good. But I didn't want to wait anymore. So yeah, we've got a good place here, you know.
Yeah, we have some really incredible providers
and
really amazing community orgs, too.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the events. I think I saw that there were events that were going on all this week, right? I mean,
correct.
So there was, why don't we talk a little bit about what's been going on, talk about what's going to happen.
Yeah, so we've been having an art crawl go that started, about a week or so ago?
A week. So spread throughout venues, Black Bee Tattoo, Spokane Pride.
Black Bee Tattoo, Spokane Pride,
Red Room,
and Nine are all displaying art by trans artists.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Yeah, really great stuff. I believe Black Bee organized the art call and kind of curated and... It looks great.
Yeah. Very cool.
And then they hosted an event.
They did. They had a play piercing demo.
At
Black Bee.
Black Bee, okay.
Mm-hmm. And there was a performance at Red Room.
Yeah, they had an amateur night.
So where is Red Room? Where is that? Is that...
Actually didn't make it there yet, unfortunately.
I did, but I don't go downtown enough to know all the rooms.
Yeah. I know I've downtown. Heard it, but I've never been there, you know. That's something.
Yeah, it was new to me
too.
I had only heard about it through one of our committee members
performs
there, and I wasn't familiar with it, but it sounds like a great venue. They do a lot of drag shows. It's really cool.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. And then so that's been going on, and then tonight will be the program, right?
Yeah, the formal Trans Day of Visibility event. And then there was also a scavenger hunt that went on all week that I think is ending tonight in the prize. So, but yeah.
Okay, very cool.
So tonight it's going to be at 9.
Not the time.
Yeah, not the time.
6 p.m. at 9. Bar and Bistro.
The bar.
Yeah, bar. From 6 to 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And it's going to start with a panel of speakers.
Yeah, community panel, answering some questions.
Yeah, I'm going to be one of the speakers.
Oh, amazing.
I got my speech,
I believe.
Right there.
I believe that Mayor Lisa Brown may be dropping by.
Okay.
To open the event, and then there's an open mic after the panel, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Which I'm really excited for.
And it may be, at least it used to be Taco Tuesday at 9 a day. Yeah. So.
And also, I think after
karaoke
night.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Karaoke, too. So
it should be a great night.
I think it should be a really great night. Yeah. And everybody, anybody wants to come is invited. You don't have to be trans to be there.
All invited.
Yeah, all invited. And I'll tell you, our allies, I think, is where it's really at. I mean, you know, I just feel like, you know, when I came out to the fire department, I was 17 years into my career then, and then came out, and I expected that there would be a lot of fighting. I was kind of used to fighting people and didn't mind fighting. But all I got were messages of love from people.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. And some of the people I wouldn't have expected that from.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that that's really emblematic of Spokane itself. I mean, it's just so, you know, people, a lot of people I know flying pride flags that aren't LGBT.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's really cool.
Yeah. I had a similar experience. You know, I got really involved in the woodworking community here.
Oh, no kidding.
And I would go take classes at Woodcraft over in Spokane Valley, and I was not fully out yet, at least in that environment. But then I had top surgery, and so it was, you know, it was more obvious, and I took a couple months off classes to heal, and I came back, and everybody just treated me exactly the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of the instructors like gave me a hug, and
wow,
it was so supporting. And I absolutely did not expect that from, you know, the woodworking community.
Yeah.
And also just, I think we do, sometimes it's easy for us to get in our heads, especially if you exist online as a trans person.
Oh my
right?
gosh,
It's so easy to feel like it's the majority.
Yeah.
But it's really often, like, at least here, you know, I can't speak for other places, but here it truly, it's a very vocal minority.
Yeah. Who are making trouble for people.
And antagonistic.
Yeah.
And that can be so fulfilling to experience.
Yeah.
To take that time to be in your local community and remember that it's not really the whole world against you. It's just a minority.
And I love that in that, you know, when you come out, and now maybe these folks that are at the woodworking class have never met a trans person, right?
Absolutely.
And now they know a trans person. And when people try to hurt you, they're going to say, I know a trans person. And I think that's the big, when I started doing talks, my wife taught nursing at WSU. And so I got called in to do like the diversity thing, you know, to go in and talk to like really big groups of students from a couple of satellite campuses and then the campus here. And when I first started, I'd ask for a show of hands at how many people knew a trans person. There may be 2-3 hands out of like 100 students.
Yeah.
And now when I just did one recently for the pharmacy, school pharmacy and school of pharmacological events. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah.
But anyways, but they, I asked for the same thing, show of hands. And I think it was maybe 3 people didn't have their hands up this time.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And I think that's the importance of being out if you can be out.
Yeah, the visibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, when you, especially if you've got a job where you're doing things for people and take, you know, it was great. I would walk in on a call, somebody who was injured or hurt or whatever, and they would have, obviously from their campaign signage, they wouldn't like somebody like me, but I'm there to serve them and to save their family member and all that. And I always think that was a real positive experience.
Absolutely. It's a very interesting phenomena, you know. It's easy to other a community when you have no personal connection, right?
Yeah.
So when you meet someone as a fellow human being, I think it has a really big impact on people to re-examine of like, oh, they're not different.
No.
Right?
Gets hard to ignore, or it gets too easy to realize that, you know, just people.
So, exactly.
We're not scary.
Right. Yeah. All of the concept of what this, you know, what a trans person is, they've built up in their mind from media, suddenly crumbles when you're face to face with a human being.
I agree. I agree. And all those things that they said they wanted to do to people, they're looking at a real person in front of them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to, usually at 20 after I play all of my, sound files for my underwriters, but the computer that runs that is down. But I know everybody got used to music around 20 after. So we're going to play a little bit of music and then we're going to come back. And I, you know, one thing I forgot to do at the beginning of the show is I always list things that are going on in the community as far as No King celebrate, you know, things to kind of get, you know, to affect regime change, I guess. So I'll come back and we'll do those too. So here we go. We're going to play a little music and then we'll be right back.
I've been around the block a couple times.
Yeah, feel me when I walk in. Push in like a basement. I'm a whole vibration. Quake the earth. Gonna shake you down. This ain't no drill. This ain't no walkthrough. Feel the groove. It be your voodoo. Came on up from LA. Now I got honeys in the UK. Tell me how I don't miss. Tell me that you can't handle it. Tell me that. That you need me. That you need me.
The Jimmy Chill, it's what I choose, can't be taboo, when I run through, oh girl,
show me some love, I ain't here for the drugs, better show me some love.
Was a little Show Me Some Love by Honey Dijon, transgender artist that I thought you might enjoy listening to. Yes, and I'm here with my friends Maggie and Sloan, and we are talking about the Transgender Day of Visibility. How do you think, what kind of effect does it have on people being out, this administration that we have right now? Is it, have you met people that have said, I was going to come out, but now I'm not going to because I don't know if it's safe?
And unfortunately, I actually know a couple people who chose to socially detransition.
Yeah.
For concerns of safety, which, you know, I think it's a super individual choice. We all got to do what we need to sustain ourselves through this time. And but it's rough that people are in a position where they have to consider that.
Yeah.
I unfortunately know some people that have at least considered it as well.
Yeah. And I definitely know people who have been, you know, they have chosen not to come out yet.
Yeah.
And just wait, you know.
Yeah, wait till the tide turns a little bit. You know, I guess maybe I'm a little bit more self-destructive because when, during the first Trump administration, when Trump got elected, I think I was about maybe 7 months in. No, I guess I was only about. Election, I would have been about 3 months into HRT at that point. So I could have quit, but I was like, you know, at this point, I don't think I would ever be able to like forgive myself by standing on the sidelines and not, you know, when other people are taking the heat and not be standing up for them. I just felt like I couldn't, you know. I would have going through this second, if I hadn't done it and going through the second administration, I don't know what I would have done to myself because I would have felt so awful.
Yeah. It's a, you know, it's a big choice to make.
It is.
And I think that, I really feel like it activates my personal stubborn streak. I'm going to go even harder now, you know, but that's just me, just my, in my personality.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like I would stay who I am for a lot of reasons, but I would be lying if I said one of them wasn't
spite.
Just to piss them off.
Just a little bit. Well, as a treat.
If that's what I keep telling my wife. I'm the little spite engine that could. And she's like, no, it's not spite. And I go, I think it really is spite. I just think that I don't mind. I think the best thing in life is if you are hated by bad people. I just feel like that is the imprimatur of every oath I've taken, every vow I have taken in my life, to have horrible people not like me.
Yeah, it's
like
validating.
A seal of approval, man.
You know, there. I came across a quote recently that was, I think it was from a podcast or something. But generally, that change makers are not well liked. Mm-hmm. They're divisive people, right? Because they are so rooted in their values, that they want change for others as well, and that's divisive for people. And so, I resonate with that. Well, you know, if my existence makes terrible people's lives a little bit harder, then like, you know, existence truly is resistance, right? Like we say, and you know, sometimes resilience, I think, can look like stubbornness or spite. If that's what it takes to keep people here,
right?
I'm on board.
Yeah.
For me personally, I didn't realize that I was trans until later in life.
Okay.
I almost at my 2-year mark.
Oh, congratulations. Very cool.
That's amazing.
And I just, when I first started, I just couldn't help but think of all the time that felt wasted.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I just can't imagine going back. Despite how hard it's been, I can't go back to that.
Yeah.
You know, this is who I am, and I have to. It doesn't even feel like a choice for me.
How do you feel different since you've transitioned? I mean, as a human being?
I think to say happier would be a stretch.
Yeah.
This is definitely not an easy time right now.
Right.
But I don't know, just so much more comfortable in my skin, you know.
I just feel like there's something about telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and living your truth.
That just telling the truth, even though it's like the hardest truth you're ever going to have to tell anybody. But
It's the hardest truth to tell yourself.
To tell yourself, yeah. And, you know, as a kid, I tried praying in a way, and I tried, you know, saying magic thinking, like, oh, I've got a girlfriend now, so
yeah.
I guess this will be the turning point. I'm going through puberty now. I guess I got married now. I have a child now. All those things. And that, you know, once you stop being busy,
yeah.
It comes back, right? And I just think that, you know, not freeing up that bandwidth of wrestling with it is big. And I just think that telling the truth right now in a world, well, in a country that values lies over truth. I mean, that, and I think some, I think people are beginning, even the diehards, at least, you know, I heard this morning that Trump has a 33% approval rating, which means that some people are beginning to say that, you know, I value the truth over the lies.
Yeah.
You know, there's at least 67% of us now that say that. And I feel like, I don't know, telling the truth is where it's at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it feels, the feeling is so unique, right?
It's to very live hard your to truth. Describe, yeah.
I once saw a clip of a trans feminine comedian who I wish I could remember the name of, but she described dysphoria as the emotional sensation of having a rock in your shoe. And yeah. that the more that you yeah. walked with it, you know, the more it becomes troublesome. And but then when you lean down and you take that rock out of your shoe, like, you feel such relief.
Yeah.
And that has always stuck with me because I, you know, I listened to that and I was like, that, I never had words.
Mm-hmm.
Dysphoria is so hard to put into words. And but that felt so resonant yeah. of like, yeah, because it is this, like, this thing that you walk with. And it is so, the idea of going back is so, it almost feels like alien to me in concept because I can't imagine putting that rock back in my shoe, right?
I like that word relief. It does feel like an absence of something that yeah. was bothering you. Like,
yeah.
I know everybody's experience is a little different. For me, I was so heavily in denial. I really had no idea. I mean, looking back, there were lots of clues, but
right.
I didn't know. But I always had a sense that there was something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, some deep, deep, dark secret that I couldn't let anybody know or they wouldn't like me. I
mean, right.
Just to not have that, to finally know, oh, this is what that was. And now that feeling of wrongness is just gone. It's hard to say what it feels like because it, like you said, it's an absence of
yeah.
a pain that you can't identify.
It's, you know, it is, it's sort of like, you know, like carrying a weight
mm-hmm.
and then yeah. the weight is gone.
Yeah. You feel light.
And you have that mental bandwidth back. You have the feeling of lightness. That's what I think of. Mm-hmm. It's like mm-hmm. the feeling of lightness.
Yeah.
That things don't feel as heavy. Because it weighs on you. And sometimes, you know, I think for so many of us, the reason why it's so hard to put into words is because it was always there. And when it's your normal, how do you have the words to tell somebody or analyze it
yeah.
if it's your normal? And you think, for me, I just thought everybody felt like that, right? Like, I was yeah. just like, oh, well, everybody feels terrible all the time
right.
and super confused and weird and no.
Well, that's what I kind of thought too. It was like, well, you know, when I was a kid, like, I bet you all boys go through this. You know, I bet you all boys have this thing. And it's like, nope,
yeah.
they don't. So, yeah, because you want to just kind of universalize your experience because you're normal. I mean, I don't know what other people feel like. I feel like I'm normal,
right.
you know, but I mean, I don't know. I yeah. guess not, you know. So now speaking, because the whole concept, you two both have talked a lot about, like, the concept of going back, you know, of stepping back and having friends who detransition right now. And I kind of thought maybe he would sign this into law today, Governor Brad Little in Idaho, sign the bathroom thing into, because I thought, well, that's just going to be the best, like, thumb in your eye for trans day of visibility. How could he resist? But I guess he didn't. So I don't know. Maybe
somebody was like, maybe not today.
We got the Supreme Court decision instead.
Yeah, we did. We did get that. That was a really hard one.
Oh yeah, the conversion therapy.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, like, well, okay, but what about, you know, what about a state wanting to, you know, what about protecting parents wanting to have their child go through transition, and yet the state, you know, the state wants to outlaw that, and you say that they can outlaw that at the same time that you say they can outlaw that, but they can't outlaw conversion therapy, right? I mean, am I missing something? Because, I mean, to me, it's like, this seems like they're so in your face, inconsistent, you know?
Yeah, no, the hypocrisy is
striking.
It's hard. It's, I don't know. How do you describe being surprised and not at all at the same time?
You know? Yeah, good way to put it.
Yeah, it is. It is a good way to put it. You know, and we, you know, just this, I think it was in the fall, you know, there was a CME, a continuing medical education class that came up in WSU's registrar that the community had a lot of.
Yes, I wrote a friend of mine who's big in WSU, and she had no idea, and they wound up pulling it.
They have effectively pulled it, but it took a lot of doing from the students and faculty and Spectrum, you know, and Identity, our medical director, Dr. Ora Peza, and I went and spoke, and it, you know, we had a good turnout, and so I think it did help.
You
know,
well, we've got our radar out right now. So let's, you know, have you read the bill, at least the House resolution in Idaho? I read it, and it's not, to me, it's not entirely clear what they mean by things. Like, they say your biological sex, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, but if somebody were to look at me, if I was nude, they would say your biological sex is a woman. Right? I mean, so to me, it's a little bit confusing, and hopefully they'll have some clarification.
Well, I mean, so much of it is I think that they intentionally word things broadly so that they can
manipulate
that
it
after the fact. Yeah. But also there's, you know, I've seen so many questions of like, okay, how do you monitor or track that?
Yeah.
How do you evaluate it? Who's going to do that labor?
That's why the police don't want to do it. And in fact, one of the legislators said, well, we'll check their ID. Well, my ID says female. So I'm like, so what? So if I obey your law and I use the men's room, because I think, because when you read other things, they say, oh, it's your, what you were assigned at birth.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I do that and then I show you my driver's license, it's going to say female. So, I mean, they better nail this thing down pretty good before they start enforcing it. And when they do enforce it, I have every intention of going into Idaho and using the men's room. I will be the biggest billboard in the men's room of why you should never vote Republican ever again in your entire life. And because people ask me what I'm doing in there, and I will tell them it's your Republican representative wanted me in the bathroom with them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what they wanted. They wanted me with you in here.
Yeah. I think so much of it is the creation of fear response. Like, that's what they're reliant on.
Yeah.
They're reliant on trans people being so afraid that they stop existing publicly. And I right. think it's yeah. also because the people who are writing these propositions that into legislation, like, they don't understand. They don't understand anything about, you know, about
or they
lives.
Do, but they don't want to let on to their other friends that they
right.
I think some people probably yeah. understand really, really well oh. about mm-hmm. being about being gay or being trans, but they, you know, but they would rather persecute
absolutely.
People than be out.
I think one of their legislatures said that it wouldn't hurt trans people because trans people don't exist.
Yeah. You're like, oh, okay. I don't know what world you're
all throughout in. History, but that's okay.
I'm an imaginary friend.
Yeah, I know. I can go doing what I please because I do not exist.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because they had a lot of trans men apparently testify. So there's guys up there with big beards and bald heads and muscly guys saying, you want me to go in the ladies' room with your wife. That's what you're right. voting for.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make it through their thick skulls. Or no. maybe it does. You know, I don't know.
I mean, time and time again, we see so many of examples of, you know, there's so many cisgender people who they feel very strongly they can identify trans people on site. And they do not have that skill that they think they do.
Well, yeah, a lot of cis women have been the targets of going in the bathroom in the South and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, you know, this legislation, it's very damaging to cisgender people as well.
Like, yeah.
It causes so much strife when we try to designate, like, the whole question of, like, what is a woman?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, well, there are cisgender women who can't have children or don't have yeah. a uterus or, you know, like, why does it need to be quantified is not helping anybody feel more secure, right?
Right.
It is harmful to everyone.
And what I, and these bathroom bills, what I've never understood is, you know, why do you think that, you know, it would be a transgender woman that would want to look over the stall or do anything like that. Why? I mean, why do you think that? I mean, could it be a cisgender woman wants to do the same thing? Wouldn't it be illegal if anybody did that? You know, I mean,
yeah, there's not a lot of logical.
No, there isn't. And it's just a pledge of allegiance to the dolts, you know, really the dummies.
Yeah. And you were saying how it hurts cis people, generally cis women. And the truth is, trans people are such a small portion of the population. It's going to hurt far more cis people than
absolutely.
Trans people.
We're, yeah. we're what, 1% yeah. of the population, but we take the full scrutiny. and I mean, yeah, I think that there is also, you know, something that has always come up in my mind about the bathroom bill specifically is, you know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, my mom would say to me, you can't go to the bathroom by yourself at the movie theater because, like, that's how kids get kidnapped, right? And so I always think about that because I'm like, do you think that there's a magic bathroom rule that currently keeps cisgender men out?
Yes.
Like, it's never been the safest place, right?
Right.
I mean, most of them, you know, don't even have, like, a exterior door. Like, if we want to talk about safety, then let's talk about safety. But
yeah.
but that's not specific to trans people, right?
Right.
We just
yeah.
want to pee and leave. I've never understood the, you know.
Yes.
I don't think that you're the ones, that we're the ones that you need to worry about. We just want to do the thing and go.
It's just, it's the cruelty is the point with this dark force. I mean, it just should be cruel. But you know, something that we kind of all agreed with earlier is that we are stubborn or spiteful or whatever. And so I just think that Idaho is going to become like the Mecca for the Northwest for people who want to, like, you know, make their point. You know, I mean, I try to avoid going there just because, you know, because, and but I mean, I love backpacking there. My wife and I go backpacking all the time and camping there, and go camping with friends there. And, you know, and so now it's just going to add another dimension to the fun, I guess, you know, I mean, I'll have all my papers. I'm thinking about making like flyers too. If somebody wants to talk to, if somebody's angry at me being in the men's room, I can hand them a flyer and say, this is why I'm here. You know, contact your legislator.
Just a little business card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the guy who voted to have me here with you today, you know, and with you and your son, you know, in the bathroom. So it's like, I hope that if it does become law, which I just can't believe that he would not sign it, that there is some real good legal advice given to us, you know, by lawyers and stuff. Like, well, how do we comply with this now that there's a specific law for us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we've, as a clinic, you know, we've been talking a lot to our community over in Northern Idaho, especially, you know, Coeur d'Alene, it's so close to us.
Yeah. And,
we are unfortunately limited due to their, state legislations of the types of care we can provide.
And, yeah.
But we still have amazing community members out there, and it becomes a question of how do we support them here? What, you know, we have state privileges in Washington, and how do we help our neighbors in North Idaho get, you know, fair treatment and resources, and even if that means that they have to come here to Spokane.
Yeah, there's some great LGBT folks in Idaho, North Idaho.
Oh, yeah.
I got to speak at their Transgender Day of Remembrance last year, and what a lovely group of people.
Truly, know? Truly.
And it's just, you know, feel bad for them, really bad.
Yeah.
But so hopefully they'll be the ones that, maybe they'll be the ones that can give us over here some advice on how we're supposed to comply, I guess, or not comply, whatever people decide to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, I guess that's probably the big one that's on the radar for me right now is that law, you know. There's just so many, like we kind of opened up saying, there's just so many awful things to pay attention to. I'm trying to think of.
There's good things too. There's good things too. Like our event tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be wonderful. Why don't we tell people again about the event tonight? So people, if they're listening and they want to come.
Yeah. So it's at 9, the bar. From 6 to 8 p.m., I was going to start with a panel of speakers, and then we will open up the mic and let everybody come in and say a few words.
Yeah, I do believe the open mic is going to be limited specifically for trans and gender diverse people to speak, since it is our day of visibility, but the event is open to everyone.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have a really great time just being in community together, talking about our experiences, you know, visibility. In times like this, visibility becomes, it's important for people to see us and humanize us, which we talked a little bit before, but I think it's also very important for our own communities, especially our younger community members who I think really benefit from seeing those of us that are a little older, and living, you know, living our lives and being out at work and mm-hmm. being open advocates. I think it really helps people hang in there.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's hard for some of us who are kind of introverted to, I do a lot of, or I haven't done much this year, but a lot of acting, you know, and I think I find that with actors too, that we're all kind of introverts, except for when we have to do this. And I think that we kind of all, COVID was kind of a gift in a way that we all got to be introverted, yeah. And it was okay. And now, you know, there's a lot of studies coming out that saying that community really extends your life, keeps you sharper.
Oh, yeah.
So now I'm intentionally throwing myself into community instead of sitting in my basement and painting and writing and all that stuff. I'm like, I am gonna I'm gonna start a Tai Chi class in April. So I'm excited about that. And I'll meet a lot of people there, I hope. Yeah.
You know, Trans-Spokane, I've been to some of their gatherings, and crafting together is pretty common. Oh, very cool.
And they do a game night, right? Or is that, that's Spectrum does that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like, you know, things like
some gaming themed get-togethers. Our hangouts usually have a theme.
I think crafting together can be a really helpful thing for introverts. Many of us like to sort of get
do things, talking when we're doing stuff with our hands. Yeah,
you're just in the same room, like even just being in the same room together as community co-recreating members.
It can
really, I think it really helps fill your cup.
Well, that's kind of the end of the show. I hate, you know, I mean, thank you.
It's a great show.
Thank you very much. And we'll have you all on again sometime too. There will be things. I mean, the show when I used to be called Can You Queer Me Now?
I love that.
Yeah, but I was like, I don't know. I just don't. There's a lot of other things I want to talk about besides queer stuff.
Right.
And so, but, you know, the raison d'etre is trans stuff. So we'll have you back.
That sounds amazing.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to Out and About today. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
Our future was pronounced dead last week. I mean that glorious future of the metaverse promised to us by Silicon Valley's tech and financial geniuses. Just a decade ago, they were promising us that by now we'd all be playing, working, and relating as digital avatars of ourselves, living out our lives in a phantasmagoric new world of virtual reality. They boldly proclaimed that the next big thing in tech, replacing smartphones and other personal devices, would be a metaverse, digitally connecting everyone everywhere. They exclaimed that by purchasing goofy-looking reality-augmenting headsets, interactions could be done without any in-person human contact. And who better to sell this future than the super-goofy gabillionaire Mark Zuckerberg? The CEO of Facebook, he was so bedazzled by the digital hokum of the metaverse that he even renamed his corporation Meta. Then he pumped a whopping $80 billion into developing and marketing his wondrous new world, including peddling a Meta brand of those magical headsets. Not wanting to miss out on a bonanza, other tech billionaire geniuses joined the virtual reality gold rush. But it was just fool's gold, for the geniuses had failed to consider an essential factor, customers. Far from dazzle, buyers pronounced the Meta mess goofy. This is Jim Hightower saying, even Zuckerberg has now pulled the plug on his fantasy of a digital, virtual, immersive avatar world of tech reality. Don't think, however, that goofy, avaricious, egomaniacal billionaires have gained any modesty from their metaverse misadventure. They are now hurling trillions of public and corporate dollars into erecting intrusive, massive, wasteful AI data centers all across America. Why? To power their profiteering fantasy of replacing humans with AI bots. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM, your thin air community radio.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM, 92.3 FM, thin air community radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now! We're suing the Trump administration over its efforts to end birthright citizenship, the vital principle that every child born in this country is a U.S. citizen, regardless of who their parents may be.
This is more than a legal case. This is a fight for what it means to be American, and we are fighting to win.
In one of the biggest cases of the year, the Supreme Court will hear arguments Wednesday on the constitutionality of President Trump's move to end birthright citizenship. We'll speak to the ACLU.